Hello and welcome to Press TV News Analysis. I'm Kaveh Tahvayi. First news on a controversial documentary, Islam, The Untold Story, which aired in Britain, which created a stir, a film which questioned the origin of Islam and its holy book, the Holy Quran. Then came the shocking anti-Islam Innocence of Muslims, a movie produced by an American Israeli man in the United States. The reaction to that came fast, and it was bloody. In Libya, the U.S. ambassador, along with three other American diplomats, were killed. In Egypt, protesters stormed the embassy there and burned the American flag. In this edition of the News Analysis, we'll be asking our guests, is this a mere case of an individual with his own goals in the case of this anti-Islam movie, or is there a systematic agenda by some Western countries against Islam to demonize a religion which has some 1.5 billion followers?
An act of blasphemy sends shockwaves throughout the Islamic world. Protests have already broken out in Libya and Egypt against a low-budget anti-Islam film produced in the U.S. state of California. The trailer of the clip is available on the web. It insults Prophet Muhammad and depicts Islam as an oppressive religion. The backlash has left the American embassy in Libya's Benghazi in near ruins. The protesters stormed the consulate with guns and rocket-propelled grenade launchers. Outnumbered by the protesters, Libyan security guards in charge of protecting the facility were unable to stop the angry demonstrators. Most of the consulate in Benghazi was set afire, and the American flag was brought down. Hours before the Benghazi incident, Egyptians marched to the U.S. consulate in downtown Cairo, demanding its closure. They, too, took down the American flag, ripped it apart, and replaced it with an Islamic banner reading, "There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet." The embassy staff had already left the consulate in Cairo in anticipation of the demonstration.
All Egyptians should take to the streets to express their anger, because what happened is not acceptable. This violation by the emigrated cops is unacceptable to Egyptians and Muslims.
Sam Bessel, an Israeli-American who claims he produced, directed, and wrote the two-hour film, says he had not anticipated such a furious reaction.
They have to arrest this priest, this extremist, and punish him. It is not the first time that he has offended Islam. Both Muslims and Christians are participating in this protest against this offense to Islam.
U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton confirmed that one State Department officer had been killed and expressed concern that the protest might spread to other countries. Clinton also condemned the protest, arguing the U.S. is committed to religious tolerance. Muslims find it offensive to depict Prophet Muhammad in any shape or form, much less in an insulting way. The 2005 publication of 12 cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad in a Danish newspaper triggered protest in many Muslim countries. There are several other examples of humiliating attacks on the faith, including the burning of the Holy Quran, both in the U.S. by a Florida priest and in Afghanistan at the hand of U.S.-led forces. Clinton speaks of religious tolerance at a time when the Islamic faith has been increasingly marginalized and Muslims demonized in the West. Most recently, Britain's Channel 4 aired a controversial documentary on the origin of Islam. The clip, Islam, The Untold Story, argues there is little evidence about the origins of Islam. Critics, including the UK-based Islamic Education and Research Academy, say the program is historically inaccurate and clearly biased. The organization argues the West is on a campaign to target Islam and stir Islamophobia.
Let's get the views of our guests. Let me introduce them first. Writer and radio host Stephen Lendman joins us from Chicago. We have spokesperson of the Libyan Democratic Party, Sabri Malek, who joins us from London, and international lawyer Marwan Al-Ashal, who joins us from Egypt's capital, Cairo. Gentlemen, welcome. Stephen Lendman, let me start first with you. Apart from this U.S.-made anti-Islam film, there's a list. Let's review some of them. A few days ago, Channel 4 in Britain broadcast a documentary that questions some of the basic facts about Islam. Prior to that, we had the American soldiers in Afghanistan who burned copies of the Holy Book of Muslims and disrespected the dead bodies of Afghans. And in 2010, we have this Florida pastor who burned copies of the Quran. Are these events, do you think, simply isolated and disconnected in terms of their attacks on Islam, or do you see a concerted effort to demonize it?
Oh, they're very definitely part of a pattern, Gova. It's been going on for so many decades. Go back to Israel. It's been going on in Israel for many, many decades, pre-1948, before Israel became a state. I mean, Muslims were targeted, Muslims were vilified. It's gone on in America for many, many years. It got intense beginning with the Gulf War. It got much more intense post 9/11. Islamophobia, the word, where it was invented, I'm not sure, but let's just speculate that it came out of America. America declared war on Islam. Muslims were declared public enemy number one. Why? Because to wage permanent imperial wars, to wage America's war on terror, America needs to incite fear in these enemies. So during the Cold War, it was communists, and now it's Muslims. What really angers me is more than this film. The filth that it is bad enough, absolute blasphemy. But what really angers me is what America has done to Muslims for so many years, especially since the Gulf War in 1991, throughout the 1990s, post 9/11 in the new millennium, not a word from Obama or Hillary Clinton or other U.S. officials even hinting at the millions, I emphasize millions, of Muslims that have been murdered by Americans in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Libya, in Syria, sabotage in Iran, proxy wars in Somalia for over two decades, in Yemen, Palestine. I could go on and on and on. This is the real crime. Never mentioned, never discussed. Headlines about four U.S. officials being killed. Tragic. I agree. What about the millions of Muslims never mentioned?
Right. Let's bring in Sabri Malik there. Good question there that Stephen Lenman is asking. Can you answer it? What about the millions that have been killed from some of these wars that the U.S. has been at the forefront?
Let's put this very clearly at the outset. The film in America was extremely provocative. It was designed to provoke a violent reaction in the Muslim world. We condemn it. This is not the way for better relations between West and America, between the West and the Muslim world. However, the reaction in Libya, the violent reaction in Libya, the destruction of the consulate in Benghazi, the killing of the ambassador and his colleagues was an act of murder. This is not justified by the film in any way. We Muslims mustn't behave in this way. We must respect international law. Indeed, we must respect Islam itself. Christopher Stevens, the ambassador who was killed, was a friend of the Arab world. He was a friend of Islam. Indeed, he was a Muslim himself. He followed the spiritual Islam. He was a Sufi. He was a spokesman for democracy in the Arab world in the State Department. We really have lost a great friend of ours. What happened in Benghazi yesterday must be condemned by the whole world. We Muslims condemn it. We in the Democratic Party condemn it.
Well, let's look at this Marwan al-Shall, the anti-Islam movie. I'm not going to talk about the contents, except for saying that each scene, choice of set, the decor, not to mention its narrative of this blasphemous film, is very much pre-planned. It's a two-hour movie with either the aim of ridiculing or insulting Islam. Do you think, as some say, well, this could be freedom of speech? Or, as others are saying, this is a freedom to insult?
Well, first, I would start by saying there's a difference between individual front and a state front. First of all, I would start my speech with the deep condolences for the loss of the diplomat, an American diplomat in Libya in a Muslim land. And this is unacceptable by any means from any religion. Our deepest condolences. We are still a third world. That's a matter of fact. and people do not control their reactions except for the representatives that they see before them. So we just distinguish between two things. There are state positions and there are individual positions. The freedom of speech is guaranteed for everyone in the world, and anyone could say whatever he wants, unless it's published in the media. That takes a completely different phase. And the state position is the official diplomatic position that a country takes versus another country, not against the people themselves. So the U.S., just for a glimpse, the U.S. has transferred from the globalization tool to control the world to the war against Islam after the September 11th, and after the incidents that took place and was related to Islam and Muslims one way or another. So it's a way to retaliate and ex-border its authorities and its attacks to enter into Afghanistan with the sympathy of all the world, breaching every international rule and not taking a collateral international decision based on the sixth section of the UN statute, and use the seventh section of the US statute solely. This is the sole use of power of the US against another individual state that would transplant its borders to another border of another country with a totally different sovereignty and invade it. With the justification that it's after terrorism. So terrorism was created by Bush and inserted in the US doctrine in the Foreign Affairs Policy Bulletin, and it was recognized as the preemptive attacks to kill the terrorism before it even erupts. So this, if you take this this imperialistic methodology from a state position, this would be very ruining to the relationships with the East. And the Middle East has 1/5 of the world treasures and the world natural resources. So in fact, the U.S. government has a position that's scientifically taken as an against position or a degrading position for the Middle East. So the reaction that happened is an individual reaction from people towards an individual who has published a movie humiliating Islam and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and they only saw the American ambassador, the one who represents the American policy, which has humiliated Islam with a very primitive mentality, and just killed him. So it's a kind of retaliation for a certain individual anger, and does not represent the state, and definitely does not represent the application of the Geneva Convention for 1961 for the protection of diplomatic delegations all over the world. So I think since Libya is a party to this convention, and Libya has been sanctioned for long years after Lockerbie, so it has a history of sanctions, so I think the decision doesn't have to be taken from the U.S., or retaliation does not have to be taken from the U.S. government against the Libyan government, because it will affect one way or another the Libyan people. It is an act of individuals, and I think individuals should stand before trial and should be tracked down, and a criminal offense should be taken to courts.
Okay.
It's not an international front against Libya.
Okay, I'd like to pick up on that point, and Stephen Lemon addressed this to you. Prosecutions should be made, obviously, in this case, as the U.S. has said they're going to pursue. But why haven't there been prosecutions made in the past on people who have provoked Muslims and Islam, not to mention insulting them, such as this pastor, Terry Jones in Florida, who's still running around? He promoted this movie. Why aren't people like him being prosecuted, where you said that as a result of these wars, for example, in Afghanistan and Iraq, so many people have died? It doesn't show that there's a seriousness when it comes to these types of acts. And this particular one obviously was going after maximum impact.
Kova, the prosecutions that I'm concerned about that haven't happened and won't happen, I'm not so concerned about a pastor who does this, that, or something else, or even a filmmaker who produces filth. I'm concerned about people who commit mass murder. America is no friend of Libya. Ambassador Stevens, tragic death, he was no friend of Libya. He was Libya's enemy. A puppet government was installed by America, not elected, installed by America to run Libya. America and its allies murdered tens of thousands, maybe well over 100,000 Libyans, ravaged the country, destroyed the country,
I want the people responsible for that prosecuted. I want the CIA agents and the Pentagon agents who tortured people, innocent people, in Guantanamo, in Bagram, in other prison hellholes. I want them prosecuted. I want the people at the top, the Secretary of Defense, the Secretary of State, the President of the United States, past and present. I want them prosecuted. They're the criminals. The other people are minor actors. They're guilty, whatever they're guilty of. The people who killed somebody, they should be prosecuted. A filmmaker should be scolded.
Well,
let's go after the big ones who really deserve it.
And that's a problem. And that's a problem. And Sabri Malek, I'd like to examine and get your views on the circumstances behind this film, which was made by this person, Mr. Basile, who is an American Jew. Don't you find it ironic that this has come out on 9/11? Don't you find it ironic that this is a movie that is 2 hours in length? Aside from that, knowing that it's going to insult Muslims to the deepest, almost level, that the reaction that came from Hillary Clinton and from the U.S. President Barack Obama, they are going to tighten security for American embassies around the world. They both did not mention anything using the words Islam or Muslim, or even to blame this anti-Islam movie for the cause of what happened in Libya. And of course, then relating this to 9/11 and then saying that is further proof that the U.S. needs to pursue their so-called war on terror. Give us your analysis on that and tell us, does that tie in with what is going on in the Middle East in terms of how the U.S. and the Western allies have talked about redrawing the map, et cetera? And of course, we're seeing what's happening there.
Well, Libya, unlike Tunisia and Egypt, Libya is becoming a democracy. This is upsetting the Saudis and the Qataris badly. We all know that the Wahhabi movement in the Arab world, indeed in the Islamic world, the Salafi movement, is controlled by Saudi intelligence, both ideologically and financially. Now, the Wahhabis are the people who attacked the American consulate yesterday and killed the ambassador and his colleagues. These people do not want to see a democratic Libya. They get their support from the Saudis, and they get their support from the Qataris. The Saudi and the Qatari want to ensure that the Arab Spring revolutions will not spread to the Arab Peninsula. There is another element into this conspiracy, and that is Gaddafi's son, As-Saadi, who is now in Niger. He is a Salafi himself, and he's colluding with Saudi intelligence. I would like to say that there is no way of defeating Wahhabism and Salafism in the Arab and the Muslim world without cutting off the head of the snake, which is there in Riyadh. The Saudi regime must go. Otherwise, we will never have peace in the Middle East, and we will never have democracy. So it's about time that the Americans have a word with the Qataris and the Saudis and make them stop financing terrorism in the Arab world. In Libya, we want democracy. We don't want to go the fundamentalist way.
Marwan al-Ashal, we got some reaction there regarding the Salafists and also the Wahhabis. It's interesting that you have this case in which they attacked, obviously, and killed this U.S. ambassador in Libya. And in no shape or form are we saying that's a good thing in this conversation here. But it's interesting that these are the same people that funded by the Saudis that the United States is also supporting in what is going on in Syria. So the fruits of what this war on terror, supposedly, that the U.S. is pursuing is backfiring, isn't it, as we see in this particular incident? Not to mention, of course, the way that Islam has been portrayed in their media, which has created this Islamophobia.
Yes. I would distinguish between the Islamophobia as a state front, as the American policy towards the world. See, the strongest financial pull in the world is the Middle East. It has all the oil, it has all the treasures, and it has 1/5 of the international economy, of the global economy. So there has to be a war to invade these economies. The war was the war against Islam. And this piece of the world, which is the Middle East, is a majority of Muslims. So if they start a war against Islam, they would take them from where they're killed, and they would kill them in the roots and invade their economy and everything. The Libyan-American relations has nothing to do with this incident. Let's put the politics aside. We're talking about individual provoking. So it's a provoking of an American producer who produced a film that humiliates Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the people retaliated this movie from the only American they see in front of them. So that is, it's that simple. So if we take it as the Saudis are the source of the Wahhabis in the area, yes, they are the source of the Wahhabis and everything, but this is not our case. I mean, from a Libyan perspective, there's another domestic issue that I don't understand, I'm not aware of, and it's impossible for any non-Libyan to understand. But from the Egyptian stand and from the Egyptian front, I guarantee you it's not the Wahhabis that are doing here in Egypt. The Salafis in Egypt are completely independent, and they do not have anything to do with the Wahhabis, and they do have their own front on their own, and they're still Muslims. We are all Muslims. Egypt, for example, have burned the flag. They may reach to killing. Killing could be an individual action that's off the Egyptian trend. Egyptians are very friendly, and the Libyans are very friendly too. So such action is very absurd for the cultures in the Middle East. Cultures in the Middle East, they don't kill. They get killed, matter of fact. The American invasion to the Middle East, the military and the financial, has killed a lot of Muslims, and no one complained, and the governments in the Middle East have gone into agreements with the United States to prevent their soldiers from standing before the International Criminal Court. So that's the governmental front, and that is the individual front. So now it's time for the U.S. to recalculate its relations in the Middle East, to understand that the people will not be silent anymore for the actions of their governments, and if their governments deviate from the will of the people, people will put it back on track with their own hands. That is the new statement that the U.S. needs to understand that the equation has changed. Uh-huh. So now the political positions towards the Middle East has to change.
Well, this realignment that you're calling for, Stephen Lenman, our guest there, is calling for realignment in terms of reassessing the relationship between the governments in the Middle East with, the United States. But how is that going to happen when you have the closest ally, given that it's Israel? I mean, in terms of what has occurred in this anti-Islam movie, do you think that this maybe is an example of how pro-Zionist groups are pitting the U.S. against Muslims? Do you think that that is one view of looking at this?
Well, I look across the Middle East, starting with Israel, and also the Saudis and the Qataris, and these nations and most of the others, Jordan, Morocco, the government in Yemen, the new government in Somalia, it goes on and on. These countries are allied with America's imperial campaign to conquer the Middle East. Israel wants to be the regional hegemon. America wants to be the overlord above Israel and to be a global hegemon. The idea that the Saudis and the Qataris are working against America's interest in Libya, I find absurd on its face. I mean, Saudi Arabia and Qatar were very closely allied with America's imperial war on Libya. Same thing going on in Syria. All of the subversion and mischief going on against Iran. I mean, these countries are tied with America's imperial machine. And they certainly are tied with Israel, whether or not they have formal diplomatic relations. This is an ugly thing. How do you get this to change? Oh my goodness, I wish I had the answer to that. It seems like an uncuttable Gordian knot. It's up to the people, that's what it comes down to. If people want real change in the region, they have to take it upon themselves. I deplore violence. I want to see change come about nonviolently.
Okay, unfortunately we're out of time. I do apologize, Stephen Lemon. You listen to Stephen Lemon there. Thank you very much, writer and radio host. We also heard from the spokesperson of the Libyan Democratic Party, Sabri Malek, and rounding off, international lawyer Marwan Al-Ashaldar from Cairo. And thank you for watching another edition of the Press TV News Analysis. From Ikobet Tahwai and the entire team, it's goodbye.